All right, everybody, we want to welcome you to the Westminster City Council meeting. We're going to go ahead and call it to order. We appreciate everybody coming out tonight. And Kyla, would you note the absence of Ms. Ruth May and Councilman Adam Dunn? And then certify a quorum. Y'all join us for the invocation of Pledge of Allegiance, please.
You pray with me. Father, we acknowledge your greatness and your omnipotence and how you have control over all things and how you've blessed this town with so many things and just for us to be here in this country and all the blessings that we have and the luck we have to actually live here. I would pray that you'll be with our town and our townspeople and us as a council as we try to discern the best things to do for this town and do what's good, right, and true. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we're going to go ahead and open up public comments, but I'm going to ask Reagan if he would read our rules, because we do have rules we have to abide by with that.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. For this evening's public comment, this is stated on our agenda. The floor is now open for public comment. Citizens of Westminster or others who have registered for time with the clerk by signing up ahead of time can now address council for any matters on tonight's agenda or other matters you wish to bring before the council. Speakers are allowed up to 3 minutes and possibly longer if that speaker is recognized in advance as representing a larger group of similar concerns. To preserve the quorum of this public meeting and to allow adequate time for discussion among elected membership of City Council, this will be the only time we will receive unsolicited comments tonight from the public.
Before we open the floor, I just want to let everybody know council cannot interact back and forth with the public during this time. You're allowed to come up and speak whatever you need to say. If you've got questions, ask us. We can write them down and we can answer you when it's our turn to speak, but that's the only way we can keep the meetings moving, keep it flowing. You got one more? All right, who's first?
Leticia Marson-Gill.
Ms. Marson-Gill. State your name and address, please.
Leticia Marson-Gill, 460 Marson-Gill Road, Westminster. We, as a group of concerned residents, are here tonight to oppose the potential annexation of our neighbor Neil, located at 510 Marson-Gill Road, into the city limits. In 2021, council implemented a policy requiring all new out-of-city utility customers to sign a covenant of annexation allowing the city to annex the property once it becomes contiguous to the city limits. Under this ordinance, any homeowner who needs city water must sign an agreement consenting to future annexation. If a homeowner chooses not to sign, they are denied access to municipal water. Because city water is available, homeowners cannot drill private wells, leaving them with no alternative water source if they do not agree to annexation. A major concern is the lack of transparency. Many new residents have no idea that when they sign the paperwork to have their water turned on, they're also signing a legal agreement consenting to annexation. This information is often unclear or hidden in routine service documents. As a result, people unintentionally commit something with long-term consequences for their property, their ability to make decisions about their home and land and their finances. Beyond the transparency issue, annexation can create serious financial burdens for homeowners. Once a property is annexed, homeowners may face higher costs from increased city taxes and utility bills to mandatory services like trash pickup, higher property and personal taxes. For an example, a $100,000 home could see an extra increase of $372 a year and potential changes to certain land rights. For families already living paycheck to paycheck, these added costs can create a significant burden. What may seem like a smaller increase on paper can quickly become a real hardship in daily life. We must also consider our elderly neighbors, many of whom live on fixed incomes and cannot absorb unexpected increases. For them, annexation could threaten their ability to remain in their homes. We're not here to avoid our responsibilities as residents. We are asking for policies that are fair, transparent, and respectful of homeowners' rights. Access to a basic necessity like water should not require people to give up their ability to make decisions about their own property. Utility services should never be used as a leverage, especially when it can create real financial hardship for families. So tonight, I respectfully ask City Council to postpone this matter until the new council is sworn in and to reconsider the current ordinance and find a better, more transparent, and more equitable way to serve and grow our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Leticia.
Next up is Dwayne Marcinko.
Mr. Dwayne.
And it is me. Great, most of you haven't seen me since I went into hiding. So,
what's the little minute thing there, Dwayne?
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dwayne Marcinkill. I'm a fifth generation resident of the community. My family still lives on land that my great great grandfather purchased over 120 years ago. Westminster was once a town built on opportunity, hundreds of manufactured jobs at Beacon, Dunlop, and Jansen. And downtown was full of local owned businesses that thrived. I share this because my roots here are deep. I've taken time to take a study on Westminster and how it has changed. In 1990, Westminster reached its highest population at 3,120 residents. By 2020, that number had dropped to 2,354, a loss of 766 taxpaying families or people. During that time, we lost all of the major employers. We tore down storefronts to widen Main Street. We installed concrete mediums and removed traffic lights through town. And the main goal at that time was to speed traffic up so people wouldn't go slow through Main Street. And that's exactly what happened. Drivers don't stop. Many hardly realize they even passed through Westminster at all. Meanwhile, most residents now have to leave town every day to go to work. And when people around here say they're going to town, most of them mean they're going to Seneca. Our zip code now contains some of the lowest valued homes and lowest home selling ratios in the entire county. This is reality for those of us who continue to live in this community. The ordinance passed in January 2021 appears designed to artificially inflate population numbers so the city can look stronger on paper for state and federal grants. The truth is that only about 106 new residents have been added in the last 5 years, and many of them were not volunteer additions. County codes prevent homeowners from drilling wells where city water is available. This means new residents who back into a corner sign up for city water or go without a basic necessity. And buried inside the water agreement was a mandatory annexation clause, one that many people had no idea they were agreeing to. This is not transparency. This is not fairness, and it is not how our town should be treating their community. No homeowner should ever be forced into annexation. If the city wants to grow, it should earn that growth, not compel it. Annexation should be a clear and straightforward choice with an honest in or out box, whether you want in or out. You should be able to agree which
Mr.
one you
Marcin
want.
Gill, I'm sorry, your time's up.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Reagan, how you doing?
Billy Campbell.
Mr. Campbell.
Most of y'all know me. I mean, I've invested an awful lot in downtown Westminster over the last 40 years. I love the town. I grew up here. My family, Pickens side, has been here since the 1700s. Kimberly said the only reason that I married her so I could be outside my jeans, you know. So I've been here a long time. I'm a little concerned about some of the issues they raised about this document that people have to sign if they want to switch the water over. I think that's very unfair. Of course, we're a little nervous about it. You know, we've got in our family about 178 acres out there, and we're talking with Upstate Forever about at least half the farm going into a conservation easement. The Arnolds have already protected 800 acres. One of the things Westminster's got going for it is kind of the ruralness and the beauty around it. And so I think that we need to have a bigger plan other than let's just get this piece and get that piece and get that other piece. There needs to be an overall plan with a green belt. We need to have some kind of green belt around Westminster. I don't want to be a part of Sunken. I want there to be a separation, and that's basically what I got to say. And we definitely don't want to be annexed. And it would be kind of silly if we have half of our land in a conservation easement. You're not going to be able to build anything out there anyway.
Thank you, Billy.
All right. David Hubbard.
Mr. Hubbard.
I'm David Hubbard. Address is 231 East Bennett Road. I just want to say before this ordinance come into play, y'all guaranteed us, Bronson, and Danny Duncan had a conversation with my wife, that we would be grandfathered in from the annexation. So we went ahead and put the infrastructure on our property for Christmas Tree Farm, and I have a working farm now. But yet, y'all want to annex everybody in the mountains. And I know y'all want us too. But he lied. He lied to my wife. We didn't get grandfathered in. So we do not have a tap at our place now. But the box is there, but we didn't buy the meter. Because he lied, and Danny Duncan will tell the truth. Talked to him last night. He did agree that we'd be grandfathered in. And for y'all to be taking everybody else's land, or fixing to take their land, I think that's wrong. I worked all my life for Hubbard Paving. I used to own Hubbard Paving. To do what I'm doing now, I'm retired. And work on the farm all the time. Son, my future daughter-in-law, they're going to work at farm when I'm dead and gone. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be fair to them, fair in city limits. And it shouldn't be in city limits, because there is nothing around us. If I wanted to be in city, I'd buy a condo or something. But I like being outside, and I'm going to be outside every day. So y'all need to listen to these people about being not annexed in. And I don't understand why we can't drill our own well. But I'll figure out a way to do that, so we don't have to pay y'all. But y'all getting a monthly fee from him, from me, and everybody else here, so I'm city water. And I don't remember if it's Walhalla or Westminster, but y'all getting around $10 million off water fees. Now, I know y'all took a hurt when Pioneer put their water plant up, but don't put it on us. And you said, well, you don't want protection? I think I'm going to protect my family pretty well before anybody can get out there. And I ain't taking nothing away from the police that's here. They do a great job. But I'm pretty sure I can take care of the problem before they can get there. So I don't like what y'all doing.
I understand. Thanks, sir.
I ain't done yet.
All right. Go ahead.
But, no, we'll just leave it at that. But I think these other people ought to be pissed about it, too.
Next.
Jody Smith.
I'm going to pass.
Caleb Geiger.
I'm going to pass.
Wes McAllister.
I'm Wes McAllister. Some of you know me, some of you don't.
Can't hear you.
I said some of you know me, some of you don't. But I agree with you. I agree with that. I agree with everybody else. Me and Brian, we've had our discussion, and I don't think it's right. You sitting here wanting us to come in. There's something we didn't want, and we didn't buy the property that we bought to be brought into this city. We bought it because some of us worked out of town, drove a truck, our family was close. Some of us bought our property because our elderly parents didn't have enough money to buy it on, we helped them. And then y'all sit back, and I know we get benefits, but we got a grocery store, sometimes it's there, sometimes it ain't. And all this other stuff. But you know, I worked hard all my life to have the 7.5 acres I got. I made a promise to myself at 55 years old I was gonna pay my place off. Then I had some health problems. And I paid it off, but it about killed me. I worked myself to death. And then for you to sit up here and tell me that if my kids get my place, or if I inherit my mother's property, you're gonna annex me in. That ain't right. You didn't work for it.
Right.
You didn't pay for it. And I chose to live outside of city limits, Brian. I did. And I do benefit. My kids played here. And Brian tried to say, where do you benefit from? Yeah, I benefit from it. But there ain't but two Mexican restaurants in town. One of them's all right, the other's okay. But if I want something else different, I got to go to Clayton, or I got to go to Seneca, or I got to go to Wahab. You know, and that's the reason I don't want no part of this. Don't want no part of it at all. Yeah, we pay our water bill, and we do everything we can. Now, what do you want? You chose to live in town. That's fine. And I understand that. But I didn't. And it ain't right for you to tell me that I'm at the age that I've got to sit back and take the crap that y'all won't give me. Well, in my opinion, it's a form of communism. You going to do it or else? And that ain't right.
Thank you, Wes.
Yes, sir.
Russell Whitworth.
Russell Whitworth, I live on 660 Marston Gill Road. My family's owned land there for 8 years, and I've got a God-given will. If I want to live in town, I would find something in town. I don't care nothing for it. I don't have much for town, what goes on in town. I don't know who's the ones that's, you want to shut the street off and have open beer and stuff, and then you want me to be drafted into a part of a town that has things that's unfit for a family. The last Apple Festival rodeo I went to, the announcer prayed, then told a dirty joke with a clown. I went and called him out on it, told him this was a family deal. He threatened to call the law on me. I won't say what I told him, but I think the Lord probably liked about it. It wasn't ugly. But we have a right, and y'all are forcing this on us. That's wrong. Every one of us in here today, through this meeting, what we do, what we say, it's being recorded in record books. He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. To much, whom much is given, much will be required. I wouldn't sit in y'all's chair for any kind of pay. I've got enough responsibility on me, praying and doing for my family. I'm just saying, I don't appreciate what y'all trying to push on me, my family, or any other family when we got a choice to be in or out. This is not the way to do it, by forcing us. And pretty much some trickery to it. People don't understand what they sign sometimes. Y'all don't go out of the way to explain that. Y'all forcing something on somebody, it's not right.
Thank you, Russell.
Neil?
Good evening, y'all. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak. Everybody knows, like, when you buy a first house, how overwhelming it is. Thousands of papers you have to sign. And being a single and all the responsibility on me, because I have to make sure what I'm signing the right thing. Most of the time, I have to depend on the person who is telling me what I'm signing. And just imagine me signing thousands of papers and somebody put two extra papers in between and hope I'm going to read each and every line. that exactly what has happened in City Hall. I went inside the office just to make sure I will transfer the name from Marsingen family, the water line, into my name. And at the last of the two end papers, something for NX. I didn't even know the terminology, what was that for, until 2-3 months later, I figured out something is I have to do with, which I'm not agree with it because I didn't sign for anything. I signed for just for water line, nothing else. And if I wanted to go into a city limit, I will go and buy the house directly up there, not outside. I choose to be outside because that's where I wanted to buy the house in the first place. So, and they wanted me to, it's kind of forced on me, like either water or no water. And then later on they tell me, being in a city, then you will get a fire help. I'm like, that's not right to me. Somebody told me, if you're not gonna join a city, otherwise you will not get help because it's 20 minutes away from where we live, I guess. That's not true. Whether I'm in city or out city, that doesn't matter. You will get a fire help regardless. You will get a police help regardless. And if somebody telling me you have to be annexed in, then only you can get help, that's totally wrong. And it's also a personal responsibility who's sitting in the office while somebody gave you a form, oh, this is for your new line, that's their job also to tell what I'm signing for. Most of the time, everybody notice that, they cross mark it and they tell you, sign where the cross mark is. And you trust that person and you signed it. That's one of those also papers, annex papers was also included in that. If I know that, trust me, I didn't sign for it. Because if I'm single, I have to pay every single thing. And it's hard for a middle class person. And if that is included to me, my bill will go up drastically. And then I cannot afford it, I have to sell the house, I have to move out. That's the reality actually. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. That's it. All right, next we're going to move on. Thank you all. And we'll be going over that issue here shortly. Now we're open the floor for comments from the mayor and council. Anything?
We haven't met since we had Blue on Main. Have we met? No. I just wanted to say appreciative to Reagan for organizing that and all the city people. We had a really good turnout for that. So I wanted to thank the community for coming together to do that.
Thank you, ma'am. Anything?
I appreciate all of you coming out. This is probably the biggest group that we've had in a long time. I appreciate differences of opinions and you know, being honest, and honest to a fault. And this is what this whole government is supposed to be about. I appreciate y'all coming out, and I promise you I'll be looking at this.
Again, about that, I believe you have a very strong voice. Always use your voice, please. You know, pay attention like you're doing, because we listen to what you say. It's not going on deaf ears. We are listening. I live right here in town. I've lived here 42 years, 3 years. So I'm your neighbor. Okay? So thank you for coming. Share what you're thinking, please. If you want to talk to any of us, talk to us. Okay? Thank you.
All right. First off, we want to recognize Charles Morgan. Where are you at, Charles? Is Jamie here?
Yes.
All right. Thank y'all both for running. We appreciate it. We look forward to working with y'all in the next year. And these are our two new council members. They'll be joining us next year. Thank all those that campaigned. This right here is one of the reasons we need people in town, because people don't want to run most of the time. They want to sit on the outside and tell the city, you know, you're doing this wrong, but they don't want to get involved. They don't want to come into the town and be a part of it. It's just you're doing it wrong from out here, and we don't want to be a part. These two guys are willing to step up here. And you're going to get this once in a while. It just happens. We can't get it all right for everybody. You can't make 100% people happy. Please don't do that, David. You know we can't do that. This is our time to talk. The Municipal Association training for elected officials in January. I want to encourage all the council members to sign up. You've got the email, Charles and Jamie. Look forward to working with y'all with that. Also, the Planning Commission now has a vacant seat. I want to encourage everyone to invite somebody to join, see if you can find somebody that's willing to take that seat that Charles has vacated. Yep, so we need to get that filled. In a minute, I'm going to ask Kevin to give an explanation of the annexation, because we knew this was coming, so I want him to kind of enlighten everybody. But first of all, I just want to respond to a couple of things. Number one, I hate to see our town start splitting like this. This shouldn't be city residents and non-city residents hating each other against each other because of what's going on. City residents pay the taxes. They pay for the fire, the police, the recreation, the sidewalks, everything that brings these businesses into town. If you don't live in the city, you don't pay those taxes. The city residents pay these taxes. What we hear all the time is we want the town to grow. The town won't grow. We can't get the town to grow. This is how we grow. You don't want growth, but you don't want us not to grow, but you don't want us to grow. So that's what makes it hard on council. We try to figure out a way to do both. You can't make everybody happy, but we've got to work on that. But just one thing I want to make clear, because it's been brought up three times that we're sneaking something in on somebody. This is the annexation agreement you sign. When you sign for new water service, it plainly states, hereby petition for annexation of said territory to the city of Westminster. Then below it, off to itself, the territory to be annexed is described as follows. There's not a lot on this paper. Nobody's hiding anything or trying to fool. The buyer signs it. The new customer signs it. Then, Dwayne, you can leave or just give us a chance to talk. The next one in the real estate special warranty deed says this conveyance is made subject to any and all existing reservations, easements, right-of-way, zoning ordinance, setback lines, and restrictions or protective covenants that may appear on record. This is given to the water customer. The third one, the last page, declaration of covenant regarding utilities and annexation. Three times. So we're not hiding anything. We're not sneaking it in on anybody. But if you think the city staff snuck something on you, we need to know about it. So I just want to clear that up. Nobody here is sneaking anything in on anybody. But at this time, I want to ask Mr. Brunson, if you would, give us an explanation. Let the public hear and the new council members about annexation.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of council, here asked me if I would put together the benefits to residents and the property owner and the benefits to the city in terms of what annexation can do. There are quite a bit of benefits that go to the owner. There are quite a bit that come to the city. Annexed areas may gain additional police protection with faster response times, lower ISO ratings, and that is the insurance rating you get because of your distance to the fire department. It's lower inside the city limits than it is outside the city limits. If you are inside the city limits, the water, sewer, and sanitation rates are lower. You also have access to zoning, permitting, inspection, and code enforcement, as well as parks recreation programs, which we do not restrict only to inside city residents, but we do charge more for outside city residents.
Real quick, what we charge, does that cover the expense per participant?
No, it doesn't cover the
expense. Who covers the rest of that cost?
The city taxpayers.
Thank you.
There are stronger property values. Properties inside the city limits often experience improved longer-term value. Representation and local voice. Residents gain the ability to vote in city elections and influence local decisions affecting services, taxes, and development. I've heard from a number of folks that they feel like they don't have a chance to exercise their voice if you're just a water customer. And I think those of you tonight have come and you've exercised your voice to the council. My experience with this council, and I hope with the others, is they are willing to listen to what you have to say. So whether you are a resident or not, I've not seen this council put anything in place that would restrict anybody's ability to come and address them in this forum. Other places have. There's also the benefit of homestead exemption. Some folks, if they're 65 or older, disabled, or legally blind, can receive homestead exemption on the first $50,000 of value of their home. That privilege carries over to municipal property taxes. We have had folks in the past that have annexed in, and because of that homestead exemption, the reduction in their cost of water, sewer, and sanitation services, they actually save money. It's on a case-by-case basis. The benefits to the city: additional revenue from the state. Annexation increases the city's population, which boosts revenue from population-based state distributions. One of the gentlemen talked about where we had peaked in city population a while back, and we haven't recovered from that. I believe that was because of the loss of the Beacon Hill. That happened all over the state of South Carolina. We get money from the state. This is called the Local Government Fund that is based off of population. State shared revenues, that's basically the same thing. We also are able to get a higher portion of road infrastructure related allocations. Expanding the tax base: annexation increases revenue from property taxes, business license, hospitality accommodation taxes, and other services. Stronger land use management, cities gain the ability to apply zoning and development standards that support coordinated growth and protect community character. And Mayor, that's all that I have.
All right.
Not saying that that is comprehensive, but that is what I believe.
All right. Thank you for that. I mean, that just kind of opens the door for a little bit, just so you'll understand what annexation is. And the one thing a lot of y'all were saying, I don't want my property annexed in. If you live on your property and you have a water tap, power, or sewer, you're not going to be annexed in. It happens when the property changes hands or changes name. So, and the thing about that, you have to have your property adjoining existing city limit property. So, example, the farm I've got out Bennett Road, three other pieces of property would have to be annexed in before I would ever even be eligible. That may be 50 years, maybe 100 years. It's not that we're running out grabbing land. We've seen this with Wahala, that it was just constant misinformation going out there. We don't want y'all to have any misinformation, but we're not denying that there's an annexation covenant in place. But we don't want misinformation. We don't want this to turn into a back and forth and a battle between each other. We all got to live together. So we're trying to find middle ground. The council we have now has this ordinance. We have a new council starting in January. It could change. But right now, this is the ordinance we have. So I appreciate everybody coming. I do appreciate you talking, and every one of you know where my office is at, and you've got my phone number. You're welcome to call me anytime. So now we're going to move on to the regular part of the meeting, special presentations. Would you hand me those? Who do we have here from the Lazy Daisy Garden Club? Y'all please stand.
Mr. Mayor, this is in the form of a resolution.
Yeah, this is a resolution.
For the Lazy Daisy Garden, to make sure all council, or to give the opportunity for all council to provide input.
Give all council what?
You would need to have a motion to adopt.
You got to have the motion first. I'm sorry, go ahead. Somebody make the motion.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
You got me through all. Go ahead. Motion.
Motion to approve resolution 2025-10-18-01, a resolution celebrating the Lazy Daisy Garden Club.
Second. I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Sandra, would you come up? Who else we have at Lazy Daisy Garden Club?
Barbara and me and Kathy.
Barbara, you and Kathy.
Yep. And we want to present this check to you before we give this resolution. Okay?
Yeah. All right.
That's part of it.
Let everybody leave this lady.
Yeah. You need a mic over here. Couldn't hear anything they said.
You don't want me on a mic. I sound like burnt cornbread.
I guess I'm glad I live in the city limits because
I sound like burnt cornbread. All right, this is a resolution honoring the Lazy Daisy Garden Club. Whereas the Lazy Daisy Garden Club has been steadfast and valued organization in the city of Westminster for many decades. And whereas the members of the Lazy Daisy Garden Club have consistently demonstrated their love and pride for Westminster through countless beautification projects that have enhanced the charm and livability of our community. And whereas the Lazy Daisy Garden Club has been a dedicated partner in the city's Arbor Day festivities, contributing time, talent, and resources to the celebration of trees and environmental stewardship. And whereas the ongoing efforts of the Lazy Daisy Garden Club to plant, maintain, and preserve natural beauty throughout the city serve as an inspiration to all citizens and visitors. And whereas the City of Westminster wishes to express its sincere gratitude for the Garden Club's continued commitment to civic pride, environmental awareness, and community service. Now therefore be it resolved that by virtue of the authority invested in the City Council on behalf of the citizens of the City of Westminster, the City hereby honors and celebrates the Lazy Daisy Garden Club for their decades of service, dedication to beautifying the City of Westminster, and invaluable contributions to the Westminster community. In witness whereof the mayor has hereunto set his sign and caused the seal of the City of Westminster to be affixed. Y'all didn't put anything in there about the food they serve. They have fed me well. All right, so thank you all.
Yeah, well, come up here
because we're going to give you something.
Yeah.
For our orchard.
Mr. Okay. Bronson, would you speak about the orchard just briefly?
Yes, ma'am. So on Arbor Day, our Arbor Day celebration this year will be December the 5th at noon. That is the first Friday of the month. It's also the same Friday as the Christmas parade. The Lazy Daisies have graciously agreed to provide funds for us to be able to plant 21 apple trees at the pool field. We'll plant them in an orchard style. The intent of that is that as the trees mature and begin to produce fruit, the Dots Kitchen, the Westminster Senior Outreach, and anybody in town will be able to go there and pick an apple for free. So we're very appreciative to the Lazy Daisies.
So we want to present this check to the city and to pay for those trees.
Well, we're good.
And we also thank the mayor for saying he would help provide some of the dirt.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am.
All right.
Y'all snuggle in each pick.
Like we like you.
Thank you
all.
Thank you. All right, the next one is a proclamation. This is a presentation of a proclamation designating November 20th, 2025 as World Pancreatic Cancer Day in the City of Westminster. The proclamation declaring November 20th as World Pancreatic Cancer Day in the City of Westminster. Whereas in 2025, an estimated 67,440 people will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in the United States, and 51,980 will die from the disease. And whereas pancreatic cancer is one of the deadliest cancers, is currently the third leading cause of cancer death in the United States and is projected to become the second leading cause around 2030. And whereas pancreatic cancer is the only major cancer with a five-year relative survival rate at just 13%. And whereas when symptoms of pancreatic cancer present themselves, it is generally in later stages and 90% of pancreatic cancer patients die within the first 5 years. And whereas approximately 820 deaths will occur in South Carolina in 2025. Whereas pancreatic cancer is the seventh most common cause of cancer-related death across the world. And whereas the good health and well-being of the residents of Westminster are enhanced as a direct result of increased awareness about the symptoms and risks of pancreatic cancer and research into early detection, causes, and effective treatments. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that by virtue of the authority invested in me as mayor on behalf of the citizens of the City of Westminster, I hereby declare that November 20th, 2025 be designated as World Pancreatic Cancer Day in the City of Westminster. That it? Well, we got it. All right, move on to routine business. Comments from the utility director.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you give a few updates on the projects that we've got going, phase one, phase two? Phase one is starting to wind down. They made really good progress on that. There's been a lot of work off in the woods and things like that they've had to make their way through. But yesterday they were making one of the final road crossings, and this is out at Pump House Road in Mimosa. In that area. They've done a good job for us so far. But phase two, I know that's one that everybody's seen on Main Street. they are moving right along. They make really good progress on that one also. They've not had any major issues as they go. We were thinking they may have a little more trouble than they are, but so far they've done well. They'll dig a while and then go back and repatch and get things open back up. So I know there's some folks that are not happy with some of the traffic control, but it's just the way that they have to be. So if you have room to work, we'll make sure they've got a safe place to work for the drivers and for their crews. They have not given us a final decision on their plan for the intersection for 24 yet, but they still got some time. They've got a few weeks before they'll get to that point. So once they give us that and they give us a timeline for that intersection, we'll get everything publicized. Reagan will help us get the word out on that. And we'll coordinate Chief Miller as far as traffic control is as needed during the busy times of the day. But one option they look at is doing a pipe bursting type situation where there won't be as much disturbance in the road and disruption to traffic. So they're weighing the options on cost with that. So as soon as we know that, we'll let you know. Another thing we've been dealing with a lot over the last several weeks is the Spectrum contractors putting in the fiber optic lines, the conduits. We are done with them now, thankfully. They have done all of their digging, their boring. And we're breathing a little bit easier right now. There's still plenty of cable breathing sections and splicing things together, but the digging portion of that is done.
Have they made any movement toward paying the city for all the repairs that it cost?
There's very few of those that we're going to be able to charge them for because of a lot of these were services. They get a service that's impossible to locate because of the way the services have been in over the years. Some of those are services that were broken that were easy to repair. Others were some that they pulled back from the main. But we've got one that we're going to be able to bill them for. It's going to be a decent side of it, but actually getting collection on that may be an issue because there's not a lot of teeth in the law for that. Mr. Denny can probably help back that up, but right now there's not a lot of enforcement on that. There are some changes coming up in the utilities law over the next year or so that should help with that. But we're going to do our best to get some questions. It was very clearly marked and they went right through the middle of it. There's no way they can deny that. We've got a couple other ones that we're going to also add in with that, see if we can work that because they're right there at the same time. The one just, there's no way they can deny it. But then getting them to pay is going to be the other issue. So we've got to weigh our options as far as cost of attorney versus collection of fees for the cost. But, it's not an easy process with that, I'll be honest. We'll do our best. Also, one of the projects we've got as part of our bond is a SCADA upgrade, which gives us the ability to see and control what happens in the distribution system and at the water plant. That gives us real-time data as far as tank levels, pump settings, things that we can control as needed, and it gives us the ability to, if we have a break or something like that, we can monitor tank levels during that time. We've had a lot of issues with that over the last several months, as a matter of fact, but we've got some good companies that come in and talk with us and give us some really good input, some good ideas. We have an RFQ Reagan is helping out with that should be getting out soon. We've got to break down to a couple of companies that really seem to have a good plan and a good team, and we're going to see a lot of benefits from that. So we're really looking forward to getting that one going, which should be soon, probably sometime after the first of the year. Should have bring something to you for approval on that. The Heirloom Farm Water and Sewer, that's just that's out on Sioux Farm Road. And that one has water and sewer complete. It's permitted. Everything's ready to go. So should have some sales coming up in probably first quarter of 26 with that. Everything's been moving along with that one. And we've got several other projects that the guys are going around. Has some things going out at Portland Field. We've got a bit to reprocess a bit about there. Same kind of fencing is Anderson Park. We'll be helping out with the tree project once that comes up to harvest. Planted several trees around town. We've got 57 trees, something like that, I believe it was. But we're staying busy and just enjoying it. Anybody else have any questions on it?
I think you covered it.
Thank you.
Scott, would you tell the council, because we had a meeting at the Planning Commission last night about a proposed development and about the sewer line, the condition of the line from Wahala Middle School down to Green Road?
So the sewer line that the project, the proposed project would tie into is, it goes from the middle school all the way down, basically ties in at Freeman, at the end of Freeman Street. That line at times, if in the past, has had some overflow because of the water getting into the system. They have a lot of rain coming in, system surcharges, property owners said they've seen manholes overflowing. Their concern that they had last night that was voiced was the impact of this development on that occurred. So the impact of this development would be very minimal. I don't think you'll ever see a difference in the flow. Once the neighborhood, if the neighborhood goes in, the 28 home added to it, the flow from that will not have an impact on that. That's a separate issue. And that's something that we're looking into now. We're working on developing another project for the future upgrade, future rehab, because the skip project is going very well. We're looking into something similar. So we're trying to build that right now. But what we have seen over the last several days, just doing some home site investigations, we do have water coming in, groundwater coming into the system. So when it rains and the water table comes up, there's even more water that comes in, and it's just from old lines, old pipes. So that's something that we're aware of. We're looking at that. We're putting together a plan and report to take care of that. But the impact of that development would be very minimal. I mean, we're talking the range of 10 to 15 gallons per minute. You'll never see that, especially even in a rain event. You'll never miss it. The day-to-day operation is normal dry weather.
So to be clear, y'all were not aware of this prior to that meeting?
The
I and the overflows and all that?
I personally wasn't.
Yeah.
That's what kind of got us, there were some concerns raised. Mr. Bronson, yes, we were here. We went out and we started pulling that whole thing.
Okay.
And one of our plans that we're going to do too, just so you're aware, is when we get back into our rainy time, we're going to be out there during the rain just before and after to see how the difference is. And I feel like we're going to see this amount of difference because there's a lot of clear water in this in these lines. Just telling you, there's groundwork. Looking at the school, there's minimal flow coming from the school, but downstream, not that many houses that are flowing into it, but you see a good bit of water in that line. So it's telling us a lot pretty quickly. So.
Is that something we're going to need to repair before this switch over with the sewer authority?
Something we're going to look into and see what the cost may be with that. Timeline-wise, I don't know. That's going to be one of the things that, I mean, by the time we get this laid out and isolated and permitted, the system may already be transferred over. So that's timing on that's going to be the touchy thing with that.
So what happens if that does happen before we get ready to make the change and we have 8 or 10 houses on that? Are we just going to step back and the sewer authority would be, the new sewer authority would be responsible for it, or?
What my thought would be, we would give them all the information that we have. Mr. Bronson chimed in on that, but my thought would be, we do the investigation, we isolate it, we get as far with it as we can before that time, and these are the hot spots. These are the places that we know we have definite issues. These are the places that need to be replaced if we don't get to that, and it does move forward before that. But at least provide that information to them to save that legwork for them.
So, Kevin, this is why this ties in so much and why it's so important about that new governance. I mean, how would that affect us if we've got new housing development coming in and we're having the sewer issues? How can we guarantee that the new governance is going to take care of that for us?
Well, in this particular project, what Scott has said is, and he's not just guessing at it, they've actually calculated the flows from what those homes would be. There's plenty of capacity in those lines. What you very likely have is inflow from spring water.
Mm-hmm.
We know that area's got springs because we see it over at the Horton complex. So I don't think that there's anything that would inhibit that plan from going in, regardless of who was running that sewer, or who was the owner of the sewer line.
Okay.
I think we have an obligation that right up until the point that it doesn't belong to the city, that we've got to do the best to maintain with what we know. And as Scott mentioned, Scott and I did not know that there was any surcharging happening on that line. We found some maintenance records where some of our guys had been out worked on parts of that line, but certainly not the bulk of it. As soon as we found out that some folks were saying there had been some manholes where there was some surcharging, I called Scott that same afternoon, and then he and his guys went out that next day. So I wanted you as the counselor to know that whenever we get any information about something like that, because if something surcharges out of a manhole, we have a duty and an obligation to evaluate that and possibly report it to the Department of Environmental Services. If we don't know about it, there's nothing that we can do about it. So I certainly encourage anybody that ever sees that to let us know so that we can get out and do an evaluation. And I really appreciate the way Scott and his guys made time the very next day after I spoke with them to get out and do that. So Mayor, I used a whole lot of words to answer your short question. I don't think it would make a difference who on that sewer line or that particular neighborhood if it goes in either at 20 or 28 homes, if it goes in, there is capacity to handle it in the lines.
Mm. Thank you, sir. Anyone have anything else? That is it, Scott. Thank you. Next, comment from the city administrator.
All right. I'll run through these relatively quickly. A lot of you seen a lot more activity again this week out at the Horton Recreational Fields. The Mammoth Construction Group is back in. We say what they're doing is punch list items, but there were some things that they didn't finish before they removed their crew that was here for a while down to another project they had in Florida. Well, now they're back finishing up, putting up screens. They are reinstalling the netting, the backstop netting behind home plate in two of the fields because it wasn't up appropriately, putting a lot of different nets up. They, Mayor, in particular to you, that most folks will now not know ever happened was there was a trip hazard going into every single dugout, and so we've had them correct those trip hazards.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had to remove the concrete, and they came back and they made it so it was an even pitch walking right in. So I invite you in particular to go out and take a look at those. We're scheduled to do a walkthrough with them on Friday to go through whatever we see. They are hoping to be finished with all they have to do by next Wednesday before Thanksgiving. The current holdup that we have right now is Mammoth did not apply for the DOT permit as they believed that they had. And I'll real quick give you they had an employee who told the rest of the group that they had a verbal from DOT. I questioned that at the time. Scott questioned that at the time. We have never received a verbal from DOT. They either give you a piece of paper or they don't. Anyway, they proceeded. When we went to transfer that permit to the AMW Construction Group to construct the concession stand, it was not there because it had not been issued. So they had to apply for that permit. It is being issued through the Greenville office, and the Greenville office, last time I spoke to them, which was 2 weeks ago, would take at 350 permits that they're working through. Senator Alexander has been great to help us work through a lot of that bureaucracy. However, we still have to work through the checklist on that permit. As soon as we get it, the stormwater permit, the OJRSA, what we call that permit, Scott? The sewer permit?
Yeah.
All the other permits are ready. AMW has them. As soon as we get the DOT permit, they will get started on that concession stand. Nobody's more eager to get that going than we are. But I wanted to tell you that that's what is holding that up. The streetscape update, you approved the streetscape bids at your last council meeting. You authorized an intent to award, meaning we have to wait on the Department of Commerce to award those grants. Our contact at the Appalachian Council of Governments, Ms. Arlene Young, who most of y'all have met, when we received those bids, she noticed that we were operating under old thresholds of grant funds. For instance, the Community Development Block Grant, when we applied, was capped at $750. They then moved it to $1 million. The Appalachian Region Commission, those names are very similar, had also increased their limits. So Arlene asked me if I was willing to take a few extra weeks to let her see if those two grants would allow the additional funds to come in. So we have taken that time. We received some paperwork this morning that I signed. We believe that we have, in essence, a nod from the Department of Commerce to go ahead and resubmit for those additional funds. Now, with the contractor that you awarded it to, they have until
December
28th or 27th to begin construction. So the Appalachian Council of Governments, Ms. Young, is extremely aware that we're extremely ready to get that going, because we aren't just looking at what happens at Christmas time, we're looking at what happens at Apple Festival and Bigfoot Festival time, and we believe we can still get this done in 9 months. So I wanted to give you that update too. I believe it's worth the wait, because it very likely will bring more money to the project to allow us to do more of the work that will be in there. There were some things that we thought we would have to value engineer out that we may be able to leave in by getting the additional funds. To my knowledge, at this point, it would not require any additional resources from our part. It would just be more from them. Any questions on that? Excuse me. I just would also like to know, I'm going to skip Christmas activities because that's all Reagan. He's the holly jolly guy. But we have scheduled a swearing-in ceremony for Mr. Powell, Mr. Glint, Mr. Morgan, and Mr. Jones on January the 5th at 4 p.m. at the depot. And that is to get them sworn in as soon as we can once January comes around. Mr. Denny will officiate that for those folks. So we look forward to getting everybody sworn in. Getting on with it. The next thing, you probably recall we applied for a COPS grant, Community-Oriented Policing Grant. We were notified last Friday we did not receive that grant. A little bit disappointed, but we'll keep cranking through. Fred's got a good complement of officers going right now. Proud of those. Got a lot of young men in that group. They're doing some really good work. I believe, after reading the newspaper this morning, that the Sheriff's Office did get funding for COPS grant. And so good for them. We thought we were competitive, but we were not. So, and the rationale in the denial of the grant was that there were more requests than there were funds, which is pretty typical. I would also like to note, you mentioned the OJRSA reconstitution. That committee continues to do work. It meets once a month. We met, I believe, last week. It'd have to be, because this is just Tuesday. Feels like we already had longer. Met last Tuesday. In the administrator report this week, I'm dropping in some additional information on what the cost to do the financial and the technical analysis. Mayor, this goes hand in glove with what you mentioned about how does all this handoff, when we know something needs correcting and have we done it or not done it, this is a part of that evaluation. The current plan is to have each entity pay a base fee and then their pro rata share of the overall system. So I'll drop an example of those numbers in the admin report. I can't recall them off the top of my head. I think we're looking at somewhere between $30,000 and $40,000. The challenge for us is we did not budget for that in this fiscal year. Conversations at the committee is none of the cities did, so we're going to do our best to split that over two fiscal years. That would be this fiscal year where we would be able to find half of that amount, and then next fiscal year where we would have an opportunity to be able to set aside budget funds for that. So I encourage you to take a look at that. We will be bringing that back to you, not in December, but back in January, once you have the new reconstituted council, to begin those discussions in earnest. I have notified the committee on behalf of Westminster that our time frame was January to have the discussions with the council. So there is no decisions that need to be made prior to that. And you won't be forced to make any decisions in January, but we will have it on your agenda and we'll have a bit more information to be able to provide to you. That's all I have, Mayor.
On that, all this cost to the cities for this new governor, all these new studies. Now, I know they're going to look at all of our system and give us a value of our system compared to what a value, the actual cost to put everything back the way it should be new, I guess. But are they going to take these costs into consideration, what it's costing the city to get to this point? Is that going to be something y'all can add to that?
We haven't talked about that yet, but I'll make sure that we do as the committee moves forward.
Yeah, I just don't think that we should be spending all this money for something and turn around and hand something off and still owe money. You know, it's just,
I
understand it, but.
No one's brought that up. I think that's a good point. I'll bring it up at the next committee meeting, at least put it into the discussion.
Well, thanks, sir.
Oh, and I will note that we did discuss having an outside funding source pay for these studies. The consultants are recommending that we not do that because of the length of time it would take to secure the money, and then we would have to follow state procurement laws to be able to bring the consultants in, where right now we would be able to use the OJRSA's procurement code, which would allow us to choose the consultants that we want. So again, I encourage you to read those minutes. The draft minutes will be in the admin report from that committee meeting last week. It'll be in there this Friday. If you have any questions, I'm always happy to answer it. I think it's going to take a little bit more time for us to get through it than what we had originally hoped, but I don't know that that's a bad thing.
All right. Can we get anything else?
Yeah, I need to get Reagan, give you an update on
that. Reagan, tell us about Santa Claus.
Yes, sir. And Santa has RSVP'd for our parade, so he will be there. So we're excited for that. the parade is going to be Friday, December 5th, beginning at 6 p.m. We'll be getting lineups out the doors. We'll get out there at where we traditionally do, behind the Methodist Church near Ingalls and the Dollar Tree in that general vicinity. We'll do lineups, and then we'll proceed down, take a right onto Main Street 123, and then at the North P sign, because of potential anticipated construction, we'll see if that's actually underway by then. But we want to be prepared for this, so we're planning to go left at the marquee sign down Windsor Street in front of City Hall, and then in near 76 Supply. The Baptist Church, we discussed it. They were gracious enough to invite us to put our city Christmas tree on their property, and Taylor and his crew will begin on that Friday, putting up decorations, and then I'll continue until Wednesday of next week before Thanksgiving. So shortly, you'll be seeing lots of Christmas decorations on us. And then that sign up for the Christmas parade is online, it is live. We posted it at the beginning of this month, first week of the month. We've had a good number of signups. We usually get a lot the last week or two. Officially, we'll be closing that. Well, we asked everyone to sign up by Wednesday this week, but we'll continue to accept signups up until the day of the parade. So, that is ongoing, and certainly encourage anyone who would like to attend or be a part of the parade to sign up ahead of time so we can have an estimated head count. And then finally, as we're getting information about other events in the Westminster area, we're putting them into the admin report. So please keep an eye out as, and if you have anything you'd like to be included, please let us know. We're trying to keep everyone as informed as possible about the wonderful festivities in Westminster.
Thank you, Reagan. That brings up a question I forgot to ask earlier. With this construction project going on, somebody's made the comment about people Christmas shopping. Are we asking the contractor to kind of give some leeway up until Christmas so that the businesses on Main Street could have shoppers come in, or they're just going to come in and shut that whole section down?
Well, we haven't set the construction schedule nor the phasing of his construction. I believe that part of Retreat Street and Furniture Store and then the Antique Store would be the ones most affected, kind of all right there together. So we have no problem asking them to start up by bills where there is nothing going on. And I don't think there's going to be so much going on through Christmas that we won't be able to manage that.
Yeah. I just hadn't thought about it. People do Christmas shopping. That would inhibit a little bit coming into downtown. So if we could work around that, that'd help. All right, anybody have anything else? Next, approval of October 14, 2025 regular city council meeting minutes. I would like to ask for an amendment to those, just a small minor amendment on, let's see, section under routine business, 1D. It states, Mayor Ramey stated that he would like to get reimbursed for the damage caused by these contractors. I don't know if I said it that way or not, but I'd like for the city to get damaged because somebody's going to take that. Somebody's going to take that the wrong way. I don't get reimbursed, but I would like to see the city get reimbursed.
I didn't mean it that way.
I know, but somebody will take it that way when they read it. So with that, I'd like to make a motion that they're amended and approved at that. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, move on to old business. Consider second reading of the ordinance 11-18-2025-01. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Baby?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. All right, next under new business, consider ordinance 12-09-2025-01. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion for the consideration of the bid award.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion?
Item 7 is the ordinance to annex 510 Marsonville on the bid award.
Okay.
I skipped 7?
Yeah, you went on to...
I've got ordinance 12-09.
I apologize. Wake up. Okay, I make a motion for the consideration of ordinance 1209-2025-01, an ordinance annexing property under 100% annexation method and assigning zoning classification and other matters related thereto. I apologize.
All right. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
We had the second, didn't we?
I'm not sure.
Jimmy seconded.
Why don't you redo the second?
Yes,
go ahead, Jimmy, redo.
Okay,
so second.
Okay. Since I messed it up.
You have a second? Second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In March, we received a utility service application and attached covenant from the property owner of 510 Marsonville Road. And the property meets all the requirements for annexation to the city of Westminster. The Planning Commission did recommend approval by a vote of 3-1 at its October 20th meeting and did hold a public hearing there as well. And they recommended a lot designation of R20, designation of R20. All the other roads that have been, or all the other properties in the city limits along that corridor or in the surrounding area are R20. So we recommend a consistent corridor of R20, even though by size it could fit as R25, but we recommend R20 as the minimum size now. Staff and Planning Commission recommend approval. It does meet all the requirements of the ordinance to be annexed.
This is the first reading?
Yes, sir.
So we'll have a second reading in December. I would like to make a motion that we table that. So how do I need to go about doing that? And the reason for that is not just because of all the controversy surrounding it. It's just the fact that we have two new council members coming on in January. And we typically do this when we have a change in council. If we got anything important coming up, we try to table it and give them an opportunity to be a part of that. Because what I would rather not do is vote on something and then them get hammered about it as a council that they had nothing to do with it. I think they should have a say in that. So what would be the correct process for us to table that after the motion has been made?
You already have a motion and a second. Pass it. He's making a motion to table.
Could Debbie amend the motion if she so chooses?
If you'd like to withdraw your motion, Betty, if you agree with the mayor, if you withdraw your motion and Jimmy withdraws his second, then you could then make a motion to table it until, and I would specify that you table it to the January meeting, and if you just table it, we would automatically bring it back up in December.
Correct.
It's just one meeting, too.
Yep.
Okay, so I make the motion.
You could just say you make a motion to withdraw.
I make a motion to table it and go to the January meeting.
Okay. Right. Thank you. I just think that gives us a little more respect for our new council members. Call for a vote, please.
So if one of you will now make a motion to table it until your January council meeting, that is when we will put it back on your agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Now you would take,
now we
have discussion and then take a vote.
Okay.
All right. Any more discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
David?
Yes, ma'am.
David?
And Reagan, I appreciate all the work y'all did on that with the Planning Commission. I appreciate the Planning Commission going through what they did and having to deal with that as well. So I know it's a controversy, but we'll deal with it in January. All right, next, item 8, consider the bid award to Utility Partners of America, LLC of Greer, South Carolina. Do we have a motion?
I make the motion for the consideration of the bid award to Utility Partners of America.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Call for a vote.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Deal.
This is number 8, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have to recuse because I just became aware that I was lifelong friends with the person that was involved in this.
Then we don't have a quorum.
We don't have a quorum.
You're going to have to do it.
You have a quorum. You have a quorum. You can still.
Do we can still do that? What, 3 votes?
Yeah.
Okay.
He helps establish a quorum, so you can take a vote if he's just recusing himself.
Okay. Fair enough. All right.
So, Davey?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Given that you just tabled the motion on the annexation, would you as a body, because what we would normally do is bring that to you at the next council meeting, which would be December. Would you like us to hold that until January, or would you like to proceed with the first reading in December? We'll do whatever you like.
We could do first reading in December, and then January, that would give an opportunity for them to vote, because if they don't agree, then you know, that would stop it. So I'd be fine with that. The rest of the council good with that?
Yeah.
All right. One quick thing before we leave. The issue with that planning commission meeting, Jerry Smith shared with me a scam that was presented to him or emailed to Daniel. Can you tell us something about that? What's going on with that?
So we received a copy of that. Email that was generated by some URL that presented itself as the Westminster Planning Commission and told him that he had to do certain things and give us money and fill out this form. We've turned it over to Fred as law enforcement for him to manage. In terms of anything for staff to do, there's nothing for us to investigate because it's a law enforcement.
Right. Is there any opportunity or any chance you think you can catch these people, or because that's pretty, I read it, I've got a copy of it, and I mean there's people out there that would wire that money and not think about it.
Well, good thing he didn't, but with those kind of scams it bounces so much and it wears hard to pinpoint exactly what computer or whoever sent it, because the email address is not valid or whatever.
Do you investigate that or the sled?
I can forward it to, usually it goes against like FBI or someone like that. They've cybercrime, but I mean, this person may be in Nigeria. We don't.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, they've got our logo. They got everything. I mean, it's.
And Mr. Mayor, that's the best practice. Certainly, as we process this, we'll make sure that myself and Bob, who do the zoning,
make people aware of that.
We'll do everything we can to make them aware. As we provide them the application, that they will receive $200 payment to advertise in the paper, which is probably about $200 fee.
Right. All right. Well, thank everyone for coming. Appreciate it. I know it's a difficult meeting, but you know, we have to do what we were elected to do. Thank y'all. Staff did great. We need a motion to adjourn. All in favor say aye. We had two motions, and one of them counts a second.
We specifically went through and all the different ways they need to check. But there's definitely stirring it up.
I think, yes. He puts a lot of his own money into that.
The gavel and this.